Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
God doing crazy things all around the world. So thankful for Pastor Daniel and Pastor Karen. How many of you know you have the most amazing pastors in the world right here in Alaska? Happy birthday, Pastor Kirsten. He's older than me. Hallelujah. He looks better, but he's older. So we'll just leave it at that. So many great things happening. Thankful that God sent the snow when we landed in Alaska. I hate coming to Alaska when it's cold for no reason. If it's going to be freezing cold, 8 degrees this morning, nobody should ever have to wake up to that, especially with no hair. It's not a good day. And I'm thankful that there was snow on the ground, and my wife and I went sledding. No, we didn't really, but we looked at a couple kids going sledding and thought, that looks fun. But once we get down there, we don't get up very well anymore, so we just decided, nah, it's not worth it. So many great things happening in Antioch, California. Thank you all for your prayers. My beautiful wife, Kinu, here on the front row with us today. And just a little, nobody else knows this because I didn't announce it, but she's going to be preaching here on Wednesday night. And so you don't want to miss that. She's going to bring the heat, and it's going to be fun. Tonight, we're going to be sharing the word, but I'm going to prophesy tonight. We're going to preach, pray, and prophesy tonight. We're going to see some signs, wonders, and miracles. So if you know anybody that is sick or needs a miracle in their life, bring them to church tonight. We're going to see a radical healing tonight in our services. And so going to be an amazing time. We're going to jump into the word. I don't want to hold you hostage all day, but since this is the second service and there is no time clock, we're just going to keep it going. Tonight starts at 6. We'll do a bathroom break at 5, and then we'll kick it right back up again. It'll be an amazing time. Thankful for all that God is doing in Antioch. We have seen, as Pastor Daniel mentioned, some explosive growth that has happened recently, and God has just put his finger on. You know, sometimes you try to figure out the formula or how it works or why it works, and they have different strategies and church growth conferences. And can I tell you, it's all up to God. He owns it all. He does it all. And he's really just breathed upon us over these last couple of years. And really, in the last couple of months, we have really just seen supernatural growth. We had a, you know, I'm not on the interwebs very much. I'll just say that. I don't know. I'm not social media friendly. I don't post anything. I don't have Instagram or all that stuff. And we woke up to go to early morning prayer. How many of you go to early morning prayer? Maybe I should ask the other question. How many of you don't go to early morning prayer? Wow. Well, you know what? There will be an altar call at the end of service today, and you can ask for forgiveness. It's okay. My daughter and I were on our way to early morning prayer about 5:45 in the morning, heading into the church. And it was the day after the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And she said, Dad, I had to turn my phone off last night. I said, oh, why? She said, I got tired of it. Kept going off. I said, well, what happened? She said, that video that you did last night. I'm like, I didn't do a video. I just preached. She said, yeah, well, they posted a little video of you preaching. I said, oh, that's good. I said, what do you mean? And she said, it's getting a lot of views. I said, oh, how many? She said, well, when I woke up this morning, there's 385,000 views. I said, oh, is that pretty good? She said, yeah, you only get like 20. I said, oh, that's really good then. That's amazing. And by the time we got out of morning prayer, she said, Dad, I think something's going on. It's at 550,000 views. And I said, wow, this is awesome. I said, well, what does this mean? Are we going to get rich? And she said, no, it just means a lot of people are looking at it. And I said, oh, okay, great. And by the end of the day, Pastor Daniel called me. He said, bro, you know your video is going to go viral. You know, Pastor Daniel, I could see his eyes just be like, dude, you know what's happening? Bro, this is crazy. I'm going to do a video. We're very competitive. If I have a video that reaches 1 million, he's like, I'm doing a video tomorrow. It's going to get 2 million. Watch. I'm like, all right, let's do this. And God really breathed on it, and thankful that he did. And out of that, millions and millions of people got to see this video. But out of that, people came to our church and they're like, we're here because of the video. I said, great. Hopefully one day you'll come because of Jesus. But I'm thank you you're here for the video today. And God began to do, and about 2 weeks later, Pastor Billy Burke came, and you remember Pastor Billy Burke who came here? We had him in Antioch, and it was just like a double barrel shotgun. It was like one after the other, and really exploded with growth. On our opening night of Billy Burke, we had over 600 people in our building. Let me just tell you, there's only 390 seats in our building. So 600 and something people is really beyond fire code. And so we pray for signs, wonders, and miracles. Our signs and wonders is that people would shrink, and we would fit two people for every one chair. It's an amazing thing. You should come try it out sometime. If you're into the weight loss thing, we can really just pray over you to shrink you down and get you in. But we're thankful for all that God is doing, and thankful that we have the opportunity to be here. And our goal is that the revival spirit that is up on our house, and it's on this house too. First service, we had an incredible time in the presence. But can I tell you, there's always more. There's always more with God. And so the one thing that I would ask today is that you would be less Baptist. Oh, that really offended some of you, okay? It's okay to open your mouth and praise Jesus. Come on, somebody give a shout to Jesus this morning. I'm not trying to pick on other denominations. Just calm down, all right? I'm just saying, I don't want you to be so stiff and stuffy. I know it's cold outside, but it's warm in here. So let's just have a little bit of fun with Jesus. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So let's laugh a little bit. Let's have some fun. And we're going to get the word of the Lord in us today. I have a lot of things that I want to tell you. I have many scriptures that we're going to touch on. But today, I was talking to my son who is 23, he'll be 24. You know, it doesn't really matter because they always tell me they're the next age up. It's, how old are you? I'm almost 16. So you're 15. No, I'm almost 16. All right, great, awesome, got it. My 11-year-old, I'm almost 12. You're 11. No, I'm almost 12, Dad. Great. My almost 24-year-old, who stands at a tall 5'6", weighing in at about 100 and... He would like me to say 140 pounds, so we'll just call it that. And he's a lieutenant in the military. Now, I don't know how many of you would be very intimidated by a 5'6" little kid that has tried to be, you talked about no shave November. He hasn't been shaving since he was 12. And he's super happy. He's got a little bit of growth on his lip. He's like, look at this, Dad. This thing took me 12 years to grow. It's amazing. And he just recently was transferred to Kansas City, Missouri. He serves in the National Guard. He goes 1 month out of the, one weekend out of the month to serve. And as he was there, there was a new platoon sergeant that got also transferred to this group. And as he showed up, the platoon sergeant was super decorated. He was and I don't know all the names, forgive me, I'm sorry, but he's like Army Ranger, Navy SEAL. He's done. If you know somebody that has captured, you know somebody. He knows the person that captured the somebody. I mean, this guy is just. He's got it all going on, and he's super intense. He's physically fit. He's really tall. But my son is his boss. So when he walks in on opening day, they have to salute my son, and this guy is like. Looking at him, and he's like, Dad, I'm super intimidated by this guy. And I said, yeah, but you've got just as much going on. He said, Dad, I'm 5'6", 140 pounds, and my mustache has not grown in yet. I said, yeah, but you got something he doesn't have. I said, you've got the Spirit of the living God inside of you, and God has ordained you for such a time as this. So walk in confidence knowing, have you ever met somebody when they walk in the room, it just shifts? Have you ever met anybody that just, whenever they get around you, you just feel like something's changing? There's a couple people even in this house. Pastor Daniel, he's one of those guys. When he walks in with those big old feet, he just, you know what I'm talking about. get super, super beady-eyed and you're just like, ah! He does those weird moments. There's another guy, Dr. James Morocco. He doesn't walk so fast. But when he walks and he starts to move, something shifts. And he's just like, oh, Jesus, glory. And you're like, heaven's coming to earth right now. Something's happening. There's something that shifts, and it's not because of necessarily that they're more qualified than you. It's just they understand not only who they are, but whose they are. That they walk in a level of authority that they realize that no matter what the enemy does, he has no control on their purpose or their destiny. And can I tell you that most of the church today, we live in a place called fear of the enemy. And I'm here to tell you today, all the way from Antioch, California, that greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world, that you are more than a conqueror, that you are an overcomer through Christ. And today I want to walk you through some of those ways on how to destroy the power of the enemy in your life. Let me just read you a couple scriptures here. 1 John 3:8 says, For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Romans 8:37 says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Can I tell you that we will all face battles? The Bible says very clearly in the book of James that we will all have trials and tribulation, that we'll all go through the ups and downs of life. I think sometimes we've been misinformed by preachers in this day and age. Because preachers are more concerned about populating churches than populating heaven, they give false hope to a community. They tell people that if you receive Jesus, your life will be perfect. Can I tell you? That's false hope. Jesus will get you through any situation, and he will get you through it better than you ever could before. But I'm telling you, there is a devil that wants to defeat you, but there's a God that wants to take you to the top. We'll face battles. The devil wants to intimidate, manipulate, dominate. He wants to bring fear. He wants to help you fall into sin and to bring deception. But hear this, Jesus didn't just come to save us from sin. He came to destroy the works of the devil. You were not created to live in defeat. You were created to walk in dominion. There's a difference. I see too many Christians walking with their head down. I want to shift. I want to walk in victory. I want to walk in a place that understands that my greatest day is just ahead of me. That I don't look behind me at what used to be. I look in front of me at what could be. That God has purposed me for great things, and I'm going to walk in the very thing that God's called me to be in. Come on, we were created to tread on serpents and scorpions. We were created to enforce victory, not to chase it. Come on, we're a people that walk in the middle of victory. The enemy's works have already been destroyed, but it's our job as a believer to manifest that victory in our lives through our faith, through our authority, and through our obedience of God's word. Can I tell you that Jesus destroyed the works of the enemy when he went to hell? Some of you that are in here, I hope that all of us understand why we serve Jesus. That Jesus is the greatest gift that was ever given to any of us. But can I tell you, there was a moment when Jesus was crucified on the cross, and I'm thankful that he's not on the cross any longer. He's alive and well today. But if you don't understand the story of Jesus, is as when he was crucified on the cross, the Bible says that he was placed into a tomb for 3 days. In that amount of time, the Bible says that Jesus descended to hell, that he battled the devil, and he took the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and he got victory for each one of us, that we no longer have to walk in defeat. We no longer have to walk in depression and fear and anxiety. We can walk in a place of purpose and destiny because our God has already defeated the enemy. Jesus didn't come to debate with darkness. He came to dominate it. The word destroy in the Greek means to loosen, dissolve, or to render inoperative. That means the enemy's power has legally been broken. But though the devil's authority was taken, he still tries to operate through deception. Now imagine this, in Antioch, California, we are our congregation is made up of very diverse people. I mean, just crazy, the people that we have in our church. And thankful to see Minister Tommy here. I know you all stole him from us, but it's okay. We've forgiven you. We don't have any hate in our heart anymore. At least not that much. We're slowly trying to get rid of it. But, you know, Minister Tommy, we met him when we lived here in Alaska in 2019. And for 5 years, we worked together very intensely to do what God's called us to do. And he can verify, you know, Minister Tommy, he has a couple more tattoos than I have. So I have zero. All right, I'm just letting you know the truth. I'm thinking about getting, you know, some teardrops or something, maybe a couple lips on my neck too. I don't know. My wife's name across my stomach. I don't know. I preach with a half shirt so everybody can see it. I don't know what that would look like. But in our church, I have more people in our church with face tattoos. I mean, full face tattoos. And they love our church. And I don't understand because I don't have any tattoos. But I look at them and think, man, you're like next level. And they tell us about their lives of how they were arrested and what they were in prison for. And I'm telling you, when we send our background checks to Maui, they send them right back. And they're like, what are you thinking? I'm like, don't be jealous. You just want a security team like we've got. Ain't nobody messing with us in our church. I'm telling you. But they would tell us that we have some of the lead really shot callers, gang leaders that have gotten saved and come to Jesus and now are in our church. And they would tell us stories of how they would, you know, as a shot caller, they would never do the work. They would just tell somebody to do it. They were like the Dr. Moroccos on the streets, all right? They would just give the orders and it would get done. And then one time, one of our guys, he's now a minister in our church, he got arrested and got thrown into jail. And I said, so did your gang like fall apart because you couldn't? He says, no. I was still telling him what to do from prison. I said, well, how does that work? He's like, well, you know, you just find the guards that can do what you want them to do, and they allow you to get a phone, or they allow a word to get out, or they'll do the work for you. And it reminded me of exactly what happened with the enemy and with Jesus. See, Jesus went to hell, and he battled the devil, and he threw him in prison. And what he did was he gave us the keys to the prison cell. He put the devil in prison, and then he flopped us over the keys and said, hey, don't let this guy out. Don't let him have any influence or any impact in the world today. And can I tell you, the only reason the devil has access to any part of our life is because we've chosen to open the prison cell and let open again what should have never been opened in the first place. Legally, his authority was taken from him. And the only way that it's given back is when we give him access. And sometimes we speak things into existence. Sometimes we complain the enemy into existence. And sometimes we live and we compromise and justify the enemy into a place where he can access our lives and our families and our jobs just one more time. There has to be a moment when we understand that we have the authority to lock him up at any time we want. Come on, you don't have to beg the devil to leave you alone. You have to command him to go. You're not a victim, you're a victor. You're not under a curse, you're under the blood. Come on, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Come on now, guys. The Holy Ghost inside of you isn't just a knockoff brand. It's not a lesser than version. It's not a junior. The same spirit that lives inside of you is the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The same spirit that we read about in the Bible that miracles, signs, and wonders were performed as, you have the same spirit living on the inside of you if you are a child of the King this morning. But sometimes we don't recognize what that means. Can I tell you something? What that means, if you understand the Spirit of God lives inside of you, it means that you don't fight for victory anymore, you fight from victory. There's a difference in fighting when you understand the score at the end of the game. Now, I was born and raised in Southern California, very thankful for all my SoCal friends and on the beaches and surfing and all the good stuff. Not like Alaska, but amen. And as I was raised in SoCal, raised about an hour, I was right in between Palm Springs and Los Angeles. My wife and I were raised in a little city called Hemet. And I wouldn't advise going there now, but back when we were there, it was a retirement community, and that's why we turned out so well. We were raised by a bunch of old people. No, I'm just kidding. Not a lot to do, but the one thing that we did do was in my family, we were Los Angeles Laker fans. Now, some people might be Laker fans. If you hate them, listen, you could still come to church here and we will pray for your salvation. But I'm telling you, in our family, growing up as a young kid, my desire was to be a professional basketball player. I know, you're looking at me right here going, really? Wow. Hey, God can do miracles, okay? And I believed it as a kid. I really wanted to play ball. I played ball every day of my life. I believed that that's all I was going to do. I was going to play ball. I was going to be the best basketball player in the world. I used to play ball. Now I just look like I'm having one. I'm just saying, my life has changed a little bit. But there was moments that back when I was a kid, we had a thing called a VCR. Anybody remember the VCR? And the big old tapes that would go in there. And when the games would come on, they would have this disclosure that said that you can't record the game. But I found out that if you put some tape over these little holes on the end of the thing, you could put the tape in there and you could record the game. And I told my mom and dad it was legal. I'm just confessing my sins right now to you so we can all be the same, all right? I've held this in for my whole life, and today I'm going to be freed in Jesus' name. And for many years, I would watch every Laker game. I would record. I had boxes and boxes of VHS tapes that are recorded Laker games. I could fit almost three games on one tape. And I would watch all of these games over and over again. But what would get my mom and dad is when we were watching the game, my mom and dad were the kind of people that love a nail-biter game, coming into overtime, who's going to win it. I hate those kind of games. I want to see my team win by 20. I want to enjoy my pizza that I'm eating. I want to not think about if they're going to lose. But at a young age, at about 10 or 11 years old, I would get so nervous that I would start pacing in the living room. And my mom would say, Aaron, sit down. It's just a game. I said, no, I can't handle it. They got to win. They've got to win. And I was raised on a 40-acre farm, and my basketball court was just a big dirt driveway. My dad had nailed up a basketball goal to a telephone pole. And I had a big floodlight out there, and I would go dribble on the gravel out there, and I would, in the middle of the game, when the game was tied, coming into the fourth quarter, and I couldn't handle it anymore, I would run outside and pretend. I'm telling you, I have some issues, all right? I would pretend I was a part of the team. And I would talk to myself. They probably thought I needed medicine back in the day, but I was just so stressed out. And I would shoot, and I'd be like, if I make this basket, the Lakers are going to win. And I would pretend, and I would look in the window, and I'd be like, oh, my gosh, we're losing. Oh, my gosh, I'd be dribbling harder. I'd be yelling at the people on the team. The more I preach this, the more I think I might something be wrong with me. And then they would end up winning the game, and I would come in, and I was so relieved. Whew! Yes, they won. And my dad would say, I told you they were going to win. I told you they were going to win. And the next morning, I would rewatch the game. And my mom would go, what are you doing? I was like, I'm just watching the game. Did you know I watched the game the whole way through and I never had to leave? I never worried if they were going to win. I already knew the score. Can I tell you that sometimes we've played out our life over and over again and we get stressed over the same moments? But can I tell you, when you fight from victory, you see yourself in a place where you already know the score, you already know the end game, and you don't have to wait in a place of stress or fear because you know that God has prepared the way. There's a moment when if you just trust God, if you just walk where he tells you, you won't have to be worried about if you're going to win or not. Can I tell you, you've already won. I already know the score. The Bible says that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He knows the end from the beginning. He's already wrote your story. He already knows how it goes. Put your trust in him and know that you have the authority to cancel the attack of the enemy. You can kick him in the teeth, tell him to go back where he came from, and you can walk in victory all the days of your life. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hasn't given me the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind." Can I tell you that fear is not a feeling, it's a spirit. And that spirit doesn't come from God. The enemy has scared the church into believing that you can't be what you're supposed to be. Not all of you will be a Pastor Daniel. Not all of you will be a Dr. Morocco. Not all of you will be a famous athlete. But you will be what God's designed you to be. If you understand that greater is he that's in me, just as my son stood before that platoon sergeant who was a decorated veteran who was much older than him, who stood in a place that said, "What are we going to do, Lieutenant?" My son was like,
what we're going to do today, sir.
Sometimes we see the devil as bigger than he really is. You know, the Bible says he roams around like a lion. He's not a lion. There's only one lion, and that's the Lion of Judah. He's a knockoff brand. He's a fake. Come on, I'm telling you right now, if you'll see the enemy for who he really is, he's just a shadow on the wall. Have you ever, listen, I don't like mice. I'm not big on mice. I don't know why they're only this big, but get them away from me. But you know, if you see the shadow of something super small, it looks magnified on the wall. And you go, "Oh my gosh, what is that?" I remember growing up in a house that had a tree right next to the eave of the house. And every time the wind would blow, it sounded like something major was happening. I'm pretty sure we were getting robbed. Somebody was coming in to kill us. I probably shouldn't have watched that many Laker games. I don't know what it was. But there was moments where I would see shadows and think, "Oh my gosh, I see something coming. I see something coming." It reminds me of a story of a little boy who went to bed at night and the lights were off and he's called down the hallway. And just a little boy called to his dad. He said, "Daddy, I'm scared of the dark." His dad said, "Son, just go to sleep. You'll be okay." About 5 minutes later, Dad, "I'm scared of the dark." Son, just go to bed. 5 minutes later, "Dad, I'm really scared of the dark." He said, "Okay, let's pray." They prays. The dad goes back to bed and the son screams down the hallway, "Dad, I'm still scared of the dark." He said, "Son, the same God that we just prayed for, the same God that's watching over my bed, is the same God that's watching over your bed. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Just relax and go to sleep." He said, "Dad, can you tell him to turn the light on?" Can I tell you that sometimes God's so close to us, we don't even know it. We're walking in darkness and we don't know the power that we possess. We walk around in fear knowing that God's already sent his son to defeat the enemy, and you don't have to walk around defeated anymore. You can walk in victory all the days of your life. And we don't have to be a people that get scared of the enemy, because he hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. He gave you power to overcome the enemy, love to overcome offense and bitterness, and a sound mind to overcome confusion and anxiety. Just like that little boy, he was so confused and so worried. And just because it was dark, he thought his life was over. But when you understand the true light exists all around you, you don't have to be scared of dark moments anymore. You can rise in victory in the middle of the mess. Romans 8:37, "In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." A conqueror means you fight to win. But more than a conqueror means someone else fought for you to win, that you get to walk away with victory. See, Jesus fought the battle, defeated death, hell, and the grave, and he hands us the trophy. You don't have to strive for victory. You just have to stand in it. The battle is the Lord's, but the victory is yours. It's funny, if you understand, when David killed Goliath, Israel didn't have to fight. All they did was shout and plunder the enemy's camp. That's what happens when Jesus fights for you. You get to collect the spoils and the victory. Come on, it's time for us to stop walking in defeat. It's time for us to stop walking in lack and saying, well, the enemy did this. The devil made me do it. No, the devil doesn't do anything. He doesn't got no power. Put him back in his jail cell. Lock it up and tell him you've got no victory anymore. Come on, the Bible says in the book of Job, if you declare a thing, it will be established. Come on, there's a reason that we declare something. We need to speak those things that are not as if they were, and we need to declare that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So you say, Pastor, how do I do this? How do I walk in victory every day? Number one is this, know your identity. Not only know who you are, but know whose you are. That I'm a child of the living God. Listen, this morning, if you're sitting here and you go, I don't know if I'm a son or daughter of the King, in just a moment, you're going to have an opportunity. But you can't walk in authority if you don't know the one who gives you authority. You have to know your identity, understanding that you're not a slave to sin, that you have the power to say no to the very thing that has controlled you. Come on, it's time that you walk with confidence that you belong to God. Something shifts, something changes. When Dr. Morocco, I just got to spend a week with him in Dallas, and Pastor Daniel was there, Prophet Fang, Pastor Bruno, and a whole group of us were there, and we were staying in Dr. Morocco's house. And it was amazing because my son got to go with me, the one that's in the military. And he said, Dad, I've never been in an environment like that. He said, how many people ever get the chance to sit around the kitchen table with Dr. Morocco? And I said, amen. Never forget this moment. But we would be sitting around and we'd be laughing and joking. And, you know, we would be being pastors. All right, I'm just leaving it at that. Pastor Daniel always goofing around. Maybe. But we were making jokes, and all of a sudden, hey, guys, Dr. Morocco. Hey, doctor, how's it going? What's going on? Yeah, sure, pull up a chair. Yeah, we sit there staring at him. Pastor Daniel threw his phone in the middle of the table, put it on record, says, go ahead, doctor, just say anything. We're listening. I'm like, what's happening right now? You know what that is? That's Dr. Morocco walking into the room knowing that the power of the enemy ain't got no power over him. That when I walk in the room, something's going to shift. I don't waste my time messing around with little conversations. I'm going to sit down and know that I have a purpose and a destiny. Come on, you have the same power living on the inside of you. If you want to know how to walk in victory, we got to know our identity. We got to stay in the Word. Every lie of the devil is defeated by the truth of the word. Listen, some of us have come to church our entire lives, but yet we do not know what the word of God says. We only know what Pastor Daniel says. Does Pastor Daniel preach the word? Absolutely. Does Dr. Morocco preach the word? Absolutely. But you can't preach the word unless you have it hid in your heart. You have to know the word for yourself. When Jesus was tempted by the enemy, he said one thing to defeat the devil. It is written. How did he know what was written? He had to know what the word of God was. He had to know what was said. If you want to defeat the enemy in your life, you don't feed him by cool sayings. You don't beat him by classy slogans. You beat the devil by what is written in the word of God. Declare the word and the enemy will flee. He can't stand where God's at. Number three, we have to pray in the spirit, Jude 1:20. This is one of the most controversial topics in the church today. Funny, in Antioch, there's, you know, just as it is probably in most of the places, but a lot of different denominations. We share a parking lot with the Nazarene church. We're kind of the same until we're crazy and then we're not. And but a lot of people will come onto our parking lot and they'll come to our church for the first time. And I'll meet them and they'll say, oh my gosh, we love the church, da, 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 or we just come to check out this church. And then the first thing they'll ask, do you guys speak in tongues? Like, that's not like, do we believe in Jesus? Do we believe in the Bible? Do you speak in tongues? I'm like, sure. Oh, really? So this is a tongue-talking church. I don't even know what that is, but yeah. I use my tongue to talk. You use your tongue to talk. We're a tongue-talking church. What kind of tongues are we talking about here? Well, you know, in the Bible, it says that we could offend somebody if we pray in tongues. I said, well, you should read your Bible. It does say that, but you're taking it out of context, because I'm pretty sure Paul says, I pray in the spirit and I pray in my understanding. And he says, I pray more than any of you. And the book of Jude says this in chapter 1, verse 20 in the New Living Translation. It says, build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. And this isn't Old Testament law. This isn't the book of Acts. This is the last chapter getting ready to go on its way, saying, hey, if you do anything else, listen to me. If you want to defeat the power of the enemy in your life, if you want to have an overcoming victory spirit, you've got to know who you are in God. You've got to know the word, and you've got to begin to pray in the spirit. You've got to pray in tongues. If you don't pray in tongues, listen, today you are going to. It doesn't take a formula. It doesn't even take an altar call. It takes a response to you saying, God, I want more. And in that moment, God will touch your life. Stop trying to worry about what the Bible doesn't say and start worrying about what it does say. Sorry, I'm getting off on a tangent. I've got 49 seconds left. I'm glad this is second service. Can I just say that again? The world, the church is more consumed now about what the Bible doesn't say more than about what it does say. We have become a doctrinal church to try to prove theory of what God's not instead of what he is. And it's time for us to be the church that relies on the word of God of what it says that he is. I don't want to know what he isn't. I want to know who he is, because who he is who I am. And it's how I defeat the powers of darkness. Amen. Number four, walk in love and forgiveness. Can I tell you, unforgiveness and bitterness is really an open door to the enemy. It's time for us to close every access point through love. Love disarms the devil faster than any argument ever could. If you've ever had an argument with your spouse, never had one with my wife. We have the perfect marriage. She makes my lunch and trims my toenails, and I mean, just, it's great. Come on now. If you've ever had an argument with your spouse, can I tell you that unforgiveness and bitterness will lead to divorce? The only thing that will change the argument is love. It's the moment that you realize that, hey, love conquers all. And in our lives, if there's things that the enemy has tried to trigger you in, has tried to come back around the corner and say, what about that moment they did that to you? You need to battle it with love, not with unforgiveness. It's the moment where you'll close the door of the enemy and you'll put him back in his jail cell. And the last thing is this, use your authority. Luke 10:19 says, look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Not some of the power, not a little of the power. I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. You don't have to walk in darkness. You don't have to live in defeat. You can walk in victory all the days of your life. Listen, the cross broke the devil's power. The resurrection sealed our victory. Now it's our turn to walk in the victory, to enforce what Jesus Christ had already finished. You don't have to live bound or afraid or defeated. You're more than a conqueror, because greater is he that lives in you than he who lives in the world. Walk in faith. Speak with boldness. Watch the works of the devil fall apart before your eyes. Know your identity. Stay in the word. Know your word. Pray in the spirit. Walk in love and use your authority. Can I tell you, if you will do those things every day, the devil won't have a chance to touch you, your marriage, your generations to come. Come on, your kids will be set free. They'll walk in purpose and destiny. Come on, it's time for us as the church to recognize the authority and the power that we have to live in this world today. And greater is he that's in me. But you know what? He can't be great in you if he's not in you. And I tell you what, sometimes we feel like just coming to church gets us to a relationship with God. That's called religion. Religion actually separates us from God. Finding out that we could just come to church and respond, you might have responded to every altar. You might have sang every song. You might serve in this church, but can I tell you, none of those things are access points to heaven. There's only one thing in Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, who was raised from the grave, is now your personal Lord and Savior, if you'll confess and believe that, it's the only way you'll be saved. Coming to church, going through the motions, signing up for every serve team, going to Discover Track, being a part of the Belong class, whatever it takes, can I tell you, those are great moments that will get you involved in a church, but we're not here to populate a church. We're here to populate heaven. And you have to understand this morning that if you want to defeat darkness, you have to know the one who defeats it. His name is Jesus Christ. And I ask this question every week, and I'll ask it to you this morning. If you died today, do you know where you would spend eternity? Is heaven your home? You say, well, I hope so. Can I tell you? If that's your response, then I can tell you this. You're not confidently saved, and it's time to rededicate your life to Jesus. Tomorrow's not a guarantee. Tomorrow may never come. My wife and I sat on the, I don't know what road it is, the road that comes from Anchorage to here on Thursday night for hours. Hours. And our map, as we sat, our map rerouted us and basically said, go back to California. I didn't say that, but I felt like it would have been quicker. It changed our route from 40 minutes to 11 hours and 39 minutes. I said, 11 hours? It told us to go back into Anchorage and take some random road and jump on a ferry and go across the water. I don't even know what it was telling us to do. I thought, what in the world? Pastor Daniel goes, what's taking you so long? We're going to meet for dinner? I said, well, I don't know. You want to have dinner in my truck? I'm in park right here on the side of the road. Bring me a picnic basket. We'll settle up. It'll be fun. I don't know what happened to that car who had the jaws of life. The whole car was ripped apart. I don't know if they made it or didn't make it. And I would never want anything harmful to ever come to you. My prayer is that they knew Jesus. As we drove by the accident, we prayed. I'm not here to scare you into a relationship with Jesus. I'm here to help you understand that without Jesus, we're nothing. With him, we're everything. That we could stand in a place with confidence, knowing that greater is he that's in me. That I now have that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. It's inside of me. And now I can walk in confidence. Today is your day. With every head bowed, every eye closed, all across this room. If you've come to church, if you've memorized the songs, and even if you've read the Bible, people say, well, I read the Bible. Can I tell you, so did the devil. It doesn't get you saved until you confess Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. So all across this room, you say, Pastor, that's me. I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I want to go to heaven, but I'm not sure. But I want to be sure today. Come on, today is your day. One confession, one simple, sincere prayer can change your life forever. Will it be perfect? Absolutely not. But you'll have the peace to get through the moments that you can't get through today. All across this room, on the count of three, if you say, Pastor, that's me, I want to say yes to Jesus for real. On the count of three, I want you to lift your hand. One, two, three. All across this room. Yes, I see you. Yes, yes. Yes, I see you. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, I see you in the back. Hallelujah. Yes, I see you over there. Yes, I see you both right there in the front. Yes, I see you. So many people raising their hands to say yes to Jesus. Come on, put your hands together for all those that are going to say yes. Come on, everybody in this room. Everybody in this room, I want you to say this prayer loud enough to hear yourself. Say, dear Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Today, I confess you as my personal Lord and Savior. And I thank you that I'm going to heaven and I'll never see hell. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, one more time. Let's give them an applaud for heaven.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.